This week, OpenAI is receiving some shade for several reasons. Today, we're going to talk about that. First of all, apparently there's a math problem that should have been easy for it to solve, and it couldn't. Google's throwing shade at them for that. Their mobile app downloads are also slowing. So we're going to maybe talk about why that is today. But before we get into that, Jayden, why don't you tell them about our school community?
Every single week, we record a bonus piece of content, and we put it on our school community. And we would love to have you as a member here. We basically are explaining how to grow and scale your business using AI tools. We have a classroom section where we have recorded over 50 videos, getting close to 100, to be honest, at this point, breaking down all of the different tools that we use to grow and scale our business. We share the insider info. This week, we recorded a whole tutorial and first look at Perplexity's Comet browser. So this was previously $200 a month, but it's an agentic browser. It can accomplish tasks for you. I give it an actual use case and show you step by step how to get started with the browser. Really fascinating, and I highly recommend looking at it. The Comet browser is now free. There's certain limitations and stuff I go over, but anyways, if you want to check out that demo and a first look at the Perplexity Comet browser, go check out the school community among, you know, almost 100 other videos on there on how to grow your business, scale it, and make money with AI tools. Go check it out. Link in the description. All right, let's talk about OpenAI. So one thing that I did think was interesting, you know, we kind of kicked this off by everyone talking about the fact that their app downloads are stalling. Now, that doesn't mean their app downloads are like crashing, like no one's downloading it. Just the rate of growth has slowed a lot. I have a chart for people that are watching on Spotify or YouTube, and if you're on Apple, we'll just explain it. But basically on this chart, it is from Apptopia, and it basically looks at the global daily active user growth, so the DAU, and it found that the numbers have started to even out over the last month or so. If you look at like historically, basically we just saw this like massive unprecedented growth. It stayed pretty solid. There was one dip I will mention in sometime between January and February, where it did seem like the downloads slowed. And that's interesting because a lot of people will claim that's due to, I don't know, the start of the new year, school, work, people kind of being slowed down with everything. And it's actually through, I think it's December to January that it saw that slow last year. But what's interesting is September to October last year was really solid growth. And so that's where we're seeing it slow down this year, which is interesting because I think basically it doesn't bode well for OpenAI because we're about to go into the, you know, we're a couple months away from the December to January run where it's definitely going to slow again. So it feels like OpenAI is doing everything they can to juice growth and juice the numbers. They made a whole bunch of crazy recommendations lately. But yeah, this is kind of interesting. Jamie, in your opinion, why do you think that we're seeing slow growth here?
I mean, it's a good question. To be honest, I really don't know, but I think time of year could be something to do to play with it. I think at some point they are going to plateau with their installs because so many people have downloaded it. You know, I think there'll be a natural decline. So I'm guessing that probably is a big part of it. But also we have, you know, a lot of other companies who are kind of releasing some fun tools and things like that. I know Meta has recently released a few things that have made their Meta AI app maybe more appealing for some people to download, you know, depending on what you're trying to do. I feel like ChatGPT still has a reputation for like corporate or like getting tasks done, researching, things like that. And so, you know, that could be why, you know, competition. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
That is a great point. I really do think it's probably a lot to do with competition. I think OpenAI has gotten it's had a bunch of these like kind of like, I don't know, embarrassing moments lately. But if you look at like competitors, Meta AI's app, after they released their Vibes AI video feed inside of it, you can see that their app downloads kind of exploded. They had about, I think, 4,000 daily downloads a year ago. And now they are, you know, I think they were doing like over 300,000 a day since they kind of released that update. So Meta's app has seen a lot of growth at the same time. And I think it really cannibalizes, like there's only so much, so many apps that people will be downloading. One thing that I do think is a fair point to bring up is the fact that OpenAI really took a big swing by making a completely new app for Sora 2 and making this, you know, Sora AI generating video app, which, by the way, if you need an invite code to that, because it's invite only, go check out our school community. We have invite codes for everyone. But one thing that I do think is really interesting is Meta, they embedded, when they released their like latest Vibe, their like Vibes video thing, they had it inside of their, I believe they had it inside of their Meta AI app. And so like they came with this new cool thing, but it's inside of their app. And so it helped their app. Whereas like ChatGPT, if they had have added Sora's video inside of the app and made maybe like a tab onto ChatGPT where you could see this like AI generated video feed, I think that could have, that would have exploded growth way more. And honestly, probably exploded the use case. Now, there's a argument to be made that OpenAI actually didn't want that, because like, if you know anything about Sora, their invite code system is like, each person that gets invited can invite six people. You get six invite codes, and once those are gone, they're gone. And so like, it's kind of like they're really purposely slowing the growth. So you only, like, it only can be invited person to person. And so like not anyone can just sign up and get it. And so I think basically they don't have enough GPU resources to do it. They're trying to like experiment and see where it all goes. It might only be open in certain countries like the US and Canada. So anyways, I think, if OpenAI launched Sora 2 as a tab inside of the ChatGPT app and let everyone get it, their downloads would explode again. But I don't think they're doing that quite yet.
Yeah, that was surprising to me, I guess, with the release of Sora, that their app downloads wouldn't be higher. Although I think maybe what you're getting at is that the Sora data is not included in their, you know, current downloads. Yeah, I'm not really sure. But yeah, Sora, that's been a fun app to play with. And I've been enjoying that a lot and using it. So I think, you know, I don't think OpenAI has anything to worry about, but still interesting to see their downloads decreasing. All right, here's the other story. OpenAI recently had a math problem that should have been fairly simple to solve, but it fumbled the ball big time. And then they got some shade thrown at them from Google. But basically, someone had asked ChatGPT-5 to solve for 10 factorial, which I believe that's what it was, 10 with an exclamation point, which basically just is 10 times 9 times 8 times 7 times 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. But it couldn't do it.
Wait. Actually, I don't think that's what it is, Jamie. I think you were close. And to be honest, I'm happy you even know what that is, because for those that know, Jamie was previously a teacher. So he's the brain of this show. What I'm realizing is I think it was 10. And I think in the I think the journalist just put an exclamation point in parentheses. I don't know why they did that. So basically, the OpenAI's VP, Kevin Whale, said that ChatGPT, this was his tweet, which is now deleted, by the way. So it's also hard for us to see it because the tweet's gone. But we can see the quote. He said, ChatGPT-5 found solutions to 10 previously unsolved Erdos problems and made progress on 11 others. Erdos problems are famous conjunctures posted by mathematician Paul Erdos. Okay, so basically he's saying like there's these math problems that have never been solved, and ChatGPT solved a bunch and made progress on a bunch of others. He was like super hyped about it. The problem with it, though, the mathematician Thomas Bloom, who maintains the Erdos problems website, said that his post was, quote, a dramatic misrepresentation. Ouch. That is not the news they wanted. And then he basically, while the problems were listed as open on their website, he said that it only means, quote, I personally am unaware of a paper which solves it. Anyways, in other words, it's not accurate to claim that GPT-5 was able to solve previously unsolved problems. He said, quote, GPT-5 found references which solve these problems that I personally was unaware of. To be fair, I'm actually going to say this is a win for ChatGPT. He maintains this website of Erdos problems that have never been solved, and says he's unaware that it's ever been solved. ChatGPT goes and it finds these obscure papers that are not obviously well known that have solved it, references them. So I think it's definitely ridiculous to say ChatGPT solved the problems, but I mean, it found solutions to problems that a lot of people didn't know were solved. And so as far as gathering information, I do think that's kind of a win for ChatGPT.
So basically, instead of solving the problem, it went and found the answer on a different website. Okay. Which, yeah, like you said, still is impressive. Still got the result, but it didn't do the reasoning and the things that you know, technically it should have done.
Yeah. So if you go to X, obviously the reviews were scathing over on X. Sebastian Bubeck, who's the one who originally posted it, he, you know, made a follow-up post and he said, I deleted the post. I didn't mean to mislead anyone. Obviously, I thought the phrasing was clear. Sorry about that. The only solutions in literature were found, that is, and I find this very accelerating because I know how hard it is to search the literature. It is a good point. I personally, if I was trying to see, have any of these problems been solved, would go to the website that's like supposed to be the, you know, the foremost authority on those website, on those problems. And if it says it hadn't been solved, I would just believe it hadn't been solved. I wouldn't go search for the literature. That is a very hard thing to do. GPT-5 was able to do that. So I'll say that's an impressive win. Yann LeCun, who is like used to be the head of AI over OpenAI. I don't know. He sort of feels like he fell off a little bit. He quit Twitter because he doesn't like Elon. But he said hoisted by their own GP tards. So he is not being incredibly kind. Yeah, someone said, you know, Yann LeCooked with this. And someone else said, nobody involved with Llama 4 should dunk on GPT-5.
That's funny.
And then someone, oh yeah, this is the last comment I'll read. Someone said, I'm going to miss you, Yann. And the reason he said I'm going to miss you is because Yann posts like probably every 6 months or 3 months saying like, I'm leaving Twitter for good. You'll never see me commenting back here because I hate Elon. But then evidently he comes back on when there's a good dunk to make.
Man, that's funny.
So we are all going to miss Yann when he quits again. But anyways, I do think this is interesting. And the one other that I think is pretty good is Demis Hassabis, who is he's a Google DeepMind researcher. I think the founder of Google DeepMind, but he's over at Google. He's also the CEO there, said, this is embarrassing. The post was deleted. Anyways, it's kind of fun when there's the drama in the tech space where someone big in one company posts something and then all the heads of AI at all the other companies are like dunking on them. I'm not going to lie. I kind of love it. So I think this is a fun moment for Twitter. But AI, it's not a total L. And I'm going to be honest, if there was a totally dunkable place, I would completely dunk on them. But it found literature that the official website showing, you know, what AI, you know, what problems have been solved, hadn't recognized, the founder of it hadn't recognized in the literature. So a win for OpenAI and obviously a fun moment to dunk on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bigger thing is there's disappointment in AI in general as far as how close are we to, you know, AGI and reasoning and all this stuff. And yeah, if it can't solve a math problem the traditional way, how is it going to do, you know, robotics in a artificially intelligent way, you know? So I think there's maybe just some frustration there as to, you know, it's still, how much of it is actually just a language model versus like how much reasoning capabilities are actually there.
100%. No, I think that's a really, it's a really good point. And I think because of those disappointments, that's kind of another reason why app downloads have slowed. We've seen that ChatGPT is also having like the average time spent on their app is going down. So I just think there's a lot more competition. People are disappointed. Their mobile app average sessions per daily active user is going down. And they're just a little bit less use right now. And so I think the competition, the lack of it being able to do everything it said as it could do, I think the solution is to make the product better. I know that Sam Altman is probably screaming at me right now for saying that. But yeah, just make the super intelligent AGI AI better. But like, come on, we just want AGI. Is that too much to ask? So in any case, I think they'll solve the problems. I don't think this is a permanent issue over at OpenAI. Hey, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. If you learned anything new or if you appreciated the episode, we would love it if you could leave a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts. We are super excited to be rising in the Apple Podcast rankings as one of the top entrepreneur shows. So we really appreciate it. We couldn't do it without you guys. And a lot of that is due to the amazing reviews that you guys leave on the show. So if you haven't yet, it would help us out a ton if you could leave us a review, and we'll catch you guys all in the next episode.